Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock on this December 9th, 2022. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and I am joined by one Seth Habager.
Good morning, everyone.
Our head of production with us this morning, mm-hmm. and a good thing he is, too. What a perfect morning to have you in, Seth.
That's right.
My laptop gets destroyed somehow between my apartment and here. I don't know how that happened.
Wow.
And the computer's working.
Yes, and then our computer in the studio here wasn't working either, so it was like,
Oh, happy day. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
Yeah.
That's nice. Okay, that means everybody.
That's a plus, yes.
What you don't know about what's going on behind the curtains here is that means we're actually going to be able to do a lot of the things we love to do on Fridays mm-hmm. with you. That means star that day. That means, Missy's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club and so many other things. I've got a fun segment idea that I wanted to do with Seth. I think we'll have a good time with. We're going to try that out a little bit later.
Yeah.
Because Seth and I used to do this, a little fun show called Day in Rock History.
That's right. We did.
We thought we'd kind of bring that back, a mini condensed version, if you will.
Love it.
So we'll be doing that. We'll be looking forward to it. And this, of course, your usual unusual suspects for this show. Mm-hmm. We will have in this hour, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar. In the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're also going to make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. And we'll be joined by our newest team member, Ashley, part of our sales and marketing team.
Yeah.
Ashley's got a really fun production. Project. I don't know if there's a real correct word for it. I want to say, normally we'd call these things promotions, and that's technically what it might be, but it feels more like a project. It's Holiday for the Seniors, and I'm going to let her talk more about that.
Yeah.
But we're looking forward to her joining us in the 8 o'clock hour for that.
Yes, indeed.
9 o'clock hour, we will get you ready for your weekend with That Ain't Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day. We got a fun one I want to get into with you, Seth. I don't know if it'll be the 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock hour.
Okay.
The 50 worst decisions in music history, according to Rolling Stone. I've been hanging on to this one for you, so I'm looking forward to diving into this.
Lots of music this morning. I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it.
We've been missing doing music around here.
Yeah.
So, first up, how are you doing this morning? How are things? As I ask right as you were about to take a drink.
No, we're good. We're good. We're all. It's all good.
It's a very waiter thing of me to do.
Sir, can I? No. Mm-hmm. No, everything's going pretty good here. It's winter. And, kids occasionally get sick again. And
Yeah.
So, there's that. But other than that, no, everything's going pretty good. Had my son's first concert yesterday, band concert.
I wanted to ask how that went.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was so much fun to go see that and to be able to share that part of his life. So that was a lot of fun. And that was very much something I was looking forward to. So, yeah.
Was that over at Rams?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
yep.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So was it in the auditorium there?
Yes, it was.
My goodness. It's one of the best stages in town. It really is.
It is a nice stage.
We got a lot of good stages in this town, so I don't want that to sound bad or anything. I'm a big fan of all of them in their own way. But that stage over there, maybe because I went to East and all my friends, that used to be West Junior High.
Right, right.
And all my friends went to West. I used to look at that stage and just want to perform on it so bad. So I am a little jealous of any kid that gets to perform on that. That's really fun. That's cool. I'm sure a really good time for you guys.
It was.
So is this the son that is in the play?
No, that's the other son.
So.
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
So they both get a little bit of stage time.
They do this week. It's true. It's very cool. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but yes, you're right.
I did want to also ask about that, how the house is doing, how Beth is feeling going into tonight, because, of course, tonight is the premiere of Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes, yes. They had their preview last night, last dress rehearsal, I guess some people call it. But they did have a few people there, about 16 or so people.
That always feels good.
That's always good to have that first little audience there to get some reactions. Everyone really enjoyed it. Sounds like it was a very good show last night, and they're excited to get it going tonight. So,
yeah, wonderful.
If you haven't got your tickets yet, everybody.
WRCtheater.org is the website to go to. Go to WRCtheater.org, get your tickets, and take in some great entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's one of those shows, you're going by yourself, you're bringing the family,
yep.
you're bringing in-laws, it doesn't matter.
It's a great Christmas show. I mean, Miracle really on 34th Street, it's a great one. It's so much fun.
It's Law & Order meets Christmas. It's such a fun episode. It's such a fun one.
Yes, it is.
I actually would love to see like Jack McCoy like in that role, like really like pushing everything. Because I want to see Perry Mason versus Jack McCoy in Miracle on 34th Street. I want to see.
Well, that's a parody that needs to happen. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
The classic attorneys like going ahead to clashing evidence.
The greatest defense attorney against the greatest prosecutor in television history.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's my Super Bowl. That's my. No, I'm just kidding.
That would be hilarious.
So I wanted to touch on this one, Seth, because this is just weird, and that's right up our alley.
Yes,
that's
it
what
is.
We do around here is weird. I have to also let everybody know I'm doing this from my phone, so I don't know how well this is going to go today.
The screen is a lot smaller than your laptop.
A lot smaller, and when you don't have the greatest eyesight to begin with, this could be very interesting.
This will be an interesting day. Yes,
you can always count on tourists to tick off the locals, no matter where they are or what is going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii is having a big influx of visitors thanks to the two volcanoes erupting now.
Right.
And Native Hawaiians are upset because people keep throwing marshmallows at the lava.
What? Oh.
Now, I have not been to Hawaii before. I know you have.
Yes.
Is there anything to this? Have you heard of anything like this before?
I have not heard of this. This is weird.
Volcanoes are considered sacred by a lot of people in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So it is seen as disrespectful to be doing this.
Yeah. In the least, yes.
The mayor of Hawaii's Big Island said it might be a social media thing and people are doing it for the gram. But he's also worried about tourists getting too close to the lava where they might get hurt or need to be rescued.
Great point. Yes.
we often wonder why alien life chooses not to stop here.
Not to say hi. Not to drop in, hi, right?
Yeah. Not to check out. Not to ask for some sugar. Not anything, you know? No, they don't show up for trick-or-treating.
No, they don't.
No Christmas carols.
No.
None of this. And we wonder. I don't think we have to wonder that much
longer.
No,
we don't.
I really don't feel like it. I feel like we've had we've got enough evidence now collected of all the amazing things human beings can do. Mm-hmm. Not just talking about us getting to the moon or discovering depths of the ocean or anything. I mean, simple kindness that we can show to each other.
Right.
A stranger giving another stranger a kidney. So many different simple acts that we show what we are capable of as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got this. These knuckleheads, these fools, throwing marshmallows into a volcano. Imagine the thought process. I'm going to go buy a bag of marshmallows, and I'm going to take my trip to Hawaii, because it's a tourist. I bet every dollar I'll ever make that this is not locals doing this.
No, not at all.
I'm going to spend my time in one of the most beautiful parts of the world. Risking my life, chucking marshmallows. Marshmallows.
So you can watch them melt? I don't understand.
You can't watch them melt. Do these people understand what a volcano is? This is not a cartoon. You cannot get up to the edge of the volcano and look down and see the lava just hanging out down there, and you get a little bit of a, ooh, it's a little warm.
I think you're right in this case. I think we have to blame cartoons for that.
Yes.
Because they always show everyone walking right next to lava and all these things. No, you can't do that in real life.
There's a great line in this movie, Virtuosity, Denzel Washington. And he plays this guy who was a police officer who got arrested for committing a violent act.
Uh-huh.
And the psychologist in the beginning of the movie is asking him, hey, did you watch any scary or violent cartoons growing up or anything like that? And he looks at him. He's like, yeah, I watched Wile E. Coyote try to kill that roadrunner all the time. I used to laugh my tail off every time. Like, I mean, we all grew up on cartoons.
Exactly. Yes.
I don't want to blame the cartoon world,
mm-mm.
but I blame cartoons. I blame Acme. Acme, the company.
The Acme company.
I don't want to blame Warner Brothers or Hanna-Barbera or any of the great cartoonists or voice actors in history. I blame the Acme company.
It's the Acme company.
It's completely not the real Acme company. The Acme company in cartoons.
Because they had, and the defective gear they always had. I'm surprised they're still in business.
Yeah, right. I don't know. How
do they do that? Their quality control is terrible.
It's not like any of their products work. None of them work. the mayor is now looking at upping the penalties for trespassing in those areas.
Yeah, no kidding.
Three tourists who got caught too close to the lava this week are facing $500 fines or up to 30 days in jail.
Whoa.
So imagine you go to Hawaii for your vacation or maybe your honeymoon.
Oh, no.
And, hey, honey, hey, where are you calling it from? Well, funny story. I thought it'd be fun if I threw some marshmallows into a volcano for the gram, you know, for TikTok, for whatever. And, I'm going away for 30
days.
Honey, hello? Hello? She's not there. We must have got disconnected. I'm sure she's not. Oh, there's my wedding ring. Yes. Okay, there we go.
Your vacation has been extended. Yeah, for a few more days.
Looks like I got no reason to go home, everybody.
Yeah, I'll just stay here.
The wife has left. So if you're heading to Hawaii to see the eruptions, officials would like you to please leave your marshmallows at home.
Please.
You can bring your common sense, though. Please, feel free to bring your common sense on vacation with you.
You'd think this giant lava-spewing thing would make people pause.
Just maybe.
Pause.
Just maybe. Just for the heck of it, maybe. Yeah, you think about it. Think about it.
Supremely dangerous. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know.
Is it
worth it? Is it worth it? That's all I'm asking.
There's a great question to ask Seth. What comes of this?
What
do you get from this? What you say this even worked out like a cartoon.
Yep.
You throw the marshmallow in there and you watch it melt. Oh. Okay, what's next? what great science experiment you doing here, Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson? What you doing there, Bill Nye?
If you're interested, you just build a fire at home
Mr. Wizard. You did something you could do with a campfire.
Have you never roasted marshmallows before? Don't you know what happens? Oh, man.
If there is intelligent life out there, I don't, you know what?
They're just shaking their heads. Just like us. They're shaking their heads.
Maybe check out Mars. I don't know. See what's going on. Is there life on Mars?
The microscopic life on Mars is better than here. That's
I believe David Bowie wrote a song about that. We will take a break right here. We'll come back after we just get a palate cleanser or something. I don't know. We got to readjust after that one. Our computers and all this morning.
Oh, man. What a morning. Way to start the day.
It really is. Oh, we're gonna have some fun and get you ready for the weekend here. It's Seth and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Be sure to be here at 8 o'clock, about 8:04, and we'll be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Trombley usually is the gentleman joining us. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It is time for Seth and I to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this December 9th, 2022. It is National Llama Day. That's funny.
My sister's got a thing for llamas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she's been collecting all kinds of llama paraphernalia for a couple of years now. And now it's actually got its own. I wonder how long this has been around. I'm kind of curious about how long Llama Day has been around.
Let's see. Let's take a look at this one. let's see.
Do we have that doesn't give us a date on
usually
there.
It does.
Yeah.
Usually it does. So.
Bummer.
Huh.
Anyway.
It does look like it was started by zoos.
Okay, that makes sense.
A cousin to alpacas, llamas were domesticated by humans around 4,000 or even 5,000 years ago, starting in Peru and the Andes Mountains.
Wow.
Able to navigate tricky trails, llamas were often used as pack animals in these mountain areas to carry loads of goods, while their fur was used to make textiles and fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
In modern times, llamas are also often kept domestically on farms, sometimes as guard animals for other flocks, such as sheep or even alpacas.
Guard animals?
I did not know that.
I didn't know they could be trained as guard animals.
Since they live to be an average of 20 years or even up to 30 years, owning a llama is a long-term commitment. And they love to live in herds, so it's best to never have only one llama, but at least two or even several.
Well, I can't do it now. I mean, I don't have room for two llamas.
Right, yeah, I got no
room
for
maybe just enough
that.
Room for one.
Yeah. Implement these and other fun ideas into a no drama llama time on National Llama Day. No drama llama day.
Llama.
All right, I'm good with that. And the less drama, the better. I am so celebrate National Llama Day in the presence of the guests of honor by visiting a local llama farm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's not bad.
We used to have a an ostrich farm. I almost said llama. We had an ostrich farm here in Rapids for a little while.
I don't really
know if it's still there or not.
Oh, that's interesting.
I was riding my bike when I first moved to Rapids here, and I was just exploring the city and everything, and I went in a direction towards Grand Rapids where I'd never been before.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I see these. I thought there was a zoo over there that I didn't know of because I see these big old birds that I've never seen before.
That was
really cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, llamas are great. International Day of Veterinary Medicine.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Furry friends.
We all have them in our lives, those friends that are loyal to the end. They want nothing from us but love and the occasional meal. We are, of course, talking about our animal friends, the scaly fish that swim in the tank, the purring furball that awaits us at the door each day, does everything in its power to prevent us from getting anything productive done. And the wagging tail waiting to join us on the morning jog.
That's right.
What would our lives be without our pets in them? A lot less. International Day of Veterinary Medicine dedicates itself to recognize the field of medicine that keeps our friends alive and the people who practice it. Doctors who work on babies,
pediatricians.
Thank you, pediatricians and vets. The whole medical field, I have all the world of respect for. Mm-hmm. Nurses, doctors, anything you want to talk about, ER people. But those two particular fields, I've always felt you have to be you talk about a real calling to do something.
Yes, indeed.
Where you can't interact with the person. I can tell the doctor, hey, my head is killing me.
Yeah.
Hey, my tooth hurts. Hey, yeah. Whatever. These are two groups that cannot do that.
And to be able
to work in those fields, it's a much different calling, yes. I would think, than your everyday field.
Oh, you're so right. I remember one of the first pediatricians that Roan had, and he also did it a lot. Like a lot of pediatricians, they're also internal medicine. Mm. They do both for adults and for kids. He came in for one of his checkups, and he turns around and he sees Roan, and he's like, my favorite part of the day. Getting to work with the kids was always his favorite thing.
Oh, right on, right on.
So, because that was a nice change because he loved working with the kids. So, you are so right. It is definitely a calling.
That's cool. Yeah, and I mean, it really is. They're one of the most admirable things I think you can do with your career.
Absolutely.
It's Lost and Found Day. Throughout recorded history, humans have been losing personal items and finding others. And the emotions accompanying these events have ranged from despair to joy. Mm-hmm. So it should come as no immense shock that Lost and Found Day has been invented in order to acknowledge the impact these situations have had on our lives.
Yes.
Although this event is celebrated on no set day, it varies from location to location. This does not take away from the importance in the least. Mm-hmm. In essence, Lost and Found Day has been set aside to encourage us to return any items that we may have found during the past year to people who have lost them and who may be extremely worried.
Yes.
So I wanted to see here. Lost and Found Day was announced on November 19th in 2012.
Okay.
But the concept of having a place where people can come to possibly recover things they have lost dates back to 1805. When Napoleon Bonaparte opened the first Lost and Found an office in Paris.
Oh, my gosh.
He was looking for his height. That wasn't fair. That was not fair. I take that.
Oh, unnecessary jab at Napoleon. Yeah. What are you doing, man?
Can't even defend himself. Can't even. Objects. Maybe he was looking for whatever is in his coat pocket there. He's always got his hand in there.
Maybe he lost something.
I lost my wallet. Does anybody see? Or maybe he did lose it, and he's always keeping his hand out of it now because he doesn't want to lose it again. Objects found on the streets of the city could be brought there, and those looking for them could go there to see if their items had been brought.
How about that?
I am looking for my baguette.
That is all the French Lost and Found is in Paris. It's just baguettes. That's all it is.
It's baguette after baguette. I'm so horrible. I should not be allowed on the air. Since then, the concept has been spread all over the world. Transport for London's Lost Property offices collects about 130,000 objects every year.
Jeez.
Man. Now, I thought one of the fun things we'd be able to do was, well, let's go ahead and look into one of the strangest items ever found in Lost and Founds. There were like three things we could have said on the air. That was a segment that would have either gotten us fired or we got
a little bit of trouble. Yeah, like yeah.
Two minute segment.
Like,
you want to go ahead and search engine that one, everybody? You go right ahead.
You can look that one up on your own.
I would encourage you to do it in incognito or
yes,
something.
Yes, not suitable for work. Don't do it at work. Okay.
No, there are some messed up stuff out there, people. There's a reason some things haven't been found. Some people that I'm not owning that was mine, but. Certain items, I lose them, they're gone.
That's fine. They can stay lost. Yes. Yeah.
International Anti-Corruption Day.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Corruption could be one of the biggest tragedies of mankind for the simple reason that it is ongoing and extremely difficult to combat, forcing the poor into even more hopeless conditions while the select few in power get even richer and more powerful. Yeah. Bribes prevent chosen criminals from ever having to take responsibility for what they've done. Politicians employ all of their cronies as soon as they get into office. Police officers can be corrupt. Drug dealers, obviously, working with police officers and that whole thing. Blackmail. There is a lot of...
The Senate.
I mean, yeah. There's just a lot out there. Nicely done. Yeah. Corruption is... Corruption is embedded in our fabric.
Yeah.
Fighting corruption is also embedded in our...
That's a great point to make. It's hard when you see people, and I've never been in a position of power like a lot of people do, but the temptation is, of course, always there to engage in some corrupt act for, influence, money, whatever you want to... the thing you're looking for. But you're right. At the same time, that's something we're looking to constantly fight against.
Yeah.
Because we know that it can lead to some pretty bad stuff. It really can. So
there is it's all the more difficult when so much even in a one person in charge kind of situation. There can be, it can be hard to get out corruption, let alone.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look at, like you said, you look at Congress, look at the Senate. Mm-hmm. We know that there can be, if not there is, corruption going on in there. So you've got, let's say, on average, this amount of people trying to do their job just the way that they are hired to do it, and the other half that are corrupt.
Yep.
How do you get anything done? How can you trust anything?
That's the rub, right? Yeah, I mean, that's the tough part of this whole thing, yes. But what they said, it's very hard to get rid of corruption.
And this is why we got to remind ourselves that there are just as many people out there that are against this and that are fighting against it.
Yes.
And is that naive? I don't think so. I think that's actually realistic.
It's better than the alternative, just letting it happen. I mean...
Well, statistically, we ain't all bad.
No.
And we're not all good. Mm-hmm. So by law of averages, there is going to be some people in there, even if it is a small number, that are trying to do the right thing, or the very opposite. Of that, maybe it's a small number of people that are corrupt, and the majority of people are trying to do good.
Yeah,
it's hard to tell. But that's the crux of this whole thing.
And it's really hard to tell, especially with the system that we have right now, with all the money in politics right now. I mean, that's something we talk a lot about on this show.
Yeah,
but that's another way of looking at it, because it would be naive of us to think that money doesn't have an effect. It does.
Yeah,
and we know it does.
And since we're not getting, nobody is working hard to get the money out of politics. Mm-hmm. Nobody, I don't see the Supreme Court worrying about a lot what people are doing in their bedrooms more than what they're worrying about, our politics.
Our public sphere. Yeah, exactly.
Or child care, or a million other freaking things.
Yeah.
So if they're not going to do anything about it, it is on us to do something as Americans, to do something about it. And that's where you vote people in, you keep up to date on these things, you hold people accountable. And we do
especially
not let
politicians.
Yeah, and we do not let people get away with this.
Yep.
Stuff. World Techno Day.
Play some techno. You just got a new hit techno song, James. You just recorded it just there. Yeah. But I kid techno.
That's all I got. That's all I got on World Techno Day. Huge. So from its creation in the melting pot of Detroit music scene in the 1980s, which I don't think a lot of people realize.
House music, man.
Uh-huh. Well, I will say house music really got its start in Chicago.
You're right, though, yes.
But it didn't turn into it, but techno started in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
It bled into Chicago, which turned into house music.
That's true.
And then, of course, you've got the industrial sound that came from a lot of the East Coast and the West.
And some in the UK actually came. Yeah, a lot of industrial came from there. Yeah.
Industrial, you know, techno.
It's a very musical day for us today. We're all in on this, man.
Where would all those scenes in CSI be?
Without the tense techno music.
I auditioned for an episode of CSI a long time ago. This is like when they had the first run of it going and everything. And I kid you not, man, in the second page of notes, it's Grissom, I think was one of the character's name or whatever, is going through techno music plays faintly in the background. It's actually in the script.
It's in there. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's National Pastry Day.
Oh, yummy.
That's a good one. National Pastry Day.
That's what you should look for in the Lost and Found, is some pastries.
Yeah.
Did you drop a donut here, anyone? A cupcake?
Finders keepers.
Yeah.
I love pastries. The first ever pastries are believed to date way back into ancient times when the likes of the ancient Romans and Greeks made phyllo-style pastries as meals as well as treats.
Oh.
The main ingredients found in pastries in these hot countries were flour, oil, and honey, which would not melt easily in the heat of that day.
That makes sense.
One of the most well-known is the Turkish favorite baklava.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so tasty.
A sweet pastry made from phyllo-type pastry nuts and delightfully drizzles of honey.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
in medieval times, things got a bit more serious when pastry chefs came on the scene using shortening and butter to make a thicker, more robust pastry that is still frequently seen in pies.
That's right. Oh, man. See? There's a pie connection there. No wonder I like it.
Nice. And we got to get some pastries today. They got to get some. And it's Christmas card day.
Oh, Christmas card day. It's a reminder for everyone to get your Christmas cards out.
Yes, that's exactly it, yes. Way back in 1843, the first commercial Christmas card was created in England by Sir Henry Cole, a civil servant who was responsible for the idea of sending greetings scribbled onto the now familiar cards we get around the season of good cheer.
That's interesting. We actually have an origin. We know the person who started it. That's rare with these things.
Really is.
But that's really cool.
That is very cool.
Good on you, Henry Cole. Sir Henry Cole.
Sir Henry Cole. Yeah. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. I don't believe there's anybody that doesn't like getting a Christmas card.
They're great.
And no matter what age you are. I think that's one of those things that never gets old.
It's fun because, well, first of all, you get something in the mail, which still... When you get something in the mail from like a friend or something, that's always cool. That's still cool.
Yeah.
And then it's a greetings for Christmas, and they usually have a nice picture and that sort of thing. So you're right. I love Christmas cards too.
Just taking a quick glance at our weekend. Tomorrow is Human Rights Day.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Very important.
Yes, it is.
We were talking about corruption, some other things before. Human rights are often the first thing to fall when it comes to that.
That's correct.
Gingerbread Decorating Day.
Nice.
That's a fun one.
Get a gingerbread house together.
Yeah. And Saturday is also Nobel Prize Day, one of the highest honors that can be earned in various forms of science and other admirable work. The Nobel Prize is awarded annually on Nobel Prize Day. The first Nobel Prize was awarded on December 10th in 1901, which was the fifth anniversary of the death and the passing of Alfred Nobel. Mm-hmm. Nobel was a Swedish scientist, inventor, and businessman who was also passionate about writing drama and poetry.
Oh.
He is particularly notable as the inventor of dynamite and of other high explosives, and held more than 350 patents in his lifetime.
Wow.
When Alfred Nobel wrote his will in 1895, it established that prizes would be awarded each year in commemoration and honor of those who made significant achievements in the areas of science, medicine, literature, and peace.
Yes.
One of those, like this and the Heisman Trophy, man. Like maybe a Peabody Award, But like those are the awards to me that obviously I'm not going to turn anything down.
No, no.
But those are the awards to me that have always like held some real true significance.
A Golden Globe, I would turn that down.
I don't even know if I'd show up. You know? I would show up to Nickelodeon people at Kids' Choice Awards before I would show up to probably the Golden Globes.
Man, a Peabody though, that's like the for broadcast for anyone in the entertainment industry, that's like the gold standard right there.
If I won a Peabody, like I believe I am quite a humble person. I think I actually struggle with confidence when it comes to a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Not if I won a Peabody. I'm walking around with that thing. I'm hiring somebody to carry that thing with. No, I'm joking. I'm just kidding.
Pin it on your coat wherever you go. I don't even know what kind of an award they get for it. I don't know if it's a trophy or something. But.
I legally changed my name to James Peabody Mailoff.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Looking at Sunday, it's National Have a Bagel Day.
That's a bagel.
Bagels are great. Love bagels.
Bagels are lovely.
International Mountain Day. That's a cool one. And Worldwide Candle Lighting Day.
Ooh. That's a cool one.
I don't know if it's just be for candle's sake or just if there's something more significant to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like there is, although
remember,
I will say.
I see children who have left this world too soon. Oh, okay.
So it is, there is a
remembrance
a point
kind of thing.
To it.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Oh, very similar to lighting candles in general at all.
Exactly.
You know, just period.
Mm-hmm.
Especially this time of year where you have holidays like Hanukkah coming up and that kind of thing.
Yep. Lots of candle stuff.
Yeah. That's going to do it for our National Day of Calendar. We're going to go ahead and take a break, get to Melissa's news. When we come back, got some more fun stuff to get into. It is Seth and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Oh, good one.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Seth and James here with you in that Christmas spirit.
That's right.
Somehow it's already the 9th of December. I just don't know how that happened.
Man, just kind of fell on us, man.
We got some good stuff coming up for you, everybody. I want to dive into this one real quick, Seth.
All right.
Is your Christmas tree affecting your air quality?
Ooh.
Never thought about this, to be honest with you.
How about that? Okay.
If you have a beautiful Christmas tree in your living room right now, you might want to pay attention to this one here.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we don't want to be a buzzkill about it or anything, but that tree might be impacting your home's air quality, and maybe for the worse.
Oh, no.
And it doesn't matter if it's a real tree or a fake one, and here's what the experts say about this.
Okay, wow.
Real Christmas trees emit a mix of volatile organic compounds, which are known as VOCs.
Okay.
That pine scent your Christmas tree gives off is due to a mix of different VOCs.
Mm.
It's also what gives pine-scented wood and floor scent cleaners their smell.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the EPA, VOCs can cause headaches and irritate your eyes, nose, and throat.
Oh,
and in some cases, it can even cause respiratory infections.
Jeez.
My eyes have always been sensitive to certain, like, you know, a lot of people have the machines running right now with essential oils in them and everything.
Oh, diffusers, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Diffusers, that's it. Yep.
Some of those can really, like, I can feel it in my eyes. I can feel it, like, kind of thing. I don't know. I always thought that was just in my head almost or something like
that. No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
With a real Christmas tree, you're also potentially bringing in mold and other outdoor contaminants like pollen.
Yeah.
Not to mention if you have to be careful where you store these things, real or fake. When I was a kid, we were first moving to the real, like, darker parts of the city, and my mom and dad wanted us to have as much of a Christmas as we could,
right?
Even though we didn't really have presents or anything like that,
right?
So we didn't have a fake tree, but my mom's parents, my grandmother and grandfather had one on their not really farm. They had more of a good plot of land in the outside of the Naperville area.
Mm-hmm.
So in this barn area is where the tree is kept.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and my Uncle Bob go pick it up. They bring it to downtown Chicago. They open it up, and in this small little apartment that couldn't have been much bigger than our studio here, a mouse comes flying out of there. This mouse had been in the country too long. It sensed city life. It was ready to live. It had money to burn. It was ready to live the nightlife. We were trying to catch it. My mom and it was not a scaredy cat. My mom and my aunt Karen jump on chairs right away, and they're trying to drag me onto one of the chairs. But I'm with my dad, my Uncle Bob, trying to chase these down. I don't know if you could see it or not, Seth, but right here on my nose, there is a bit of faint, like, scar.
Okay.
From me flying into a coffee table.
Oh,
trying
no.
to chase one of these mice.
Ow.
In my, to be fair,
yeah.
I got up and kept moving. I kept chasing the mouse. But that was a fake tree that happened.
But
I've heard
still,
stories of like real mice, or you bring a tree in and there's like real animals on the tree.
It's happened.
I know
it's happened.
You guys, you mentioned yesterday that you guys would cut a real tree down
yes.
and stuff. Nothing like that ever happened though?
No, because it was because there was a live tree that we cut down. We would be able to see, you know, as we were dragging, if there was like a nest. I mean, and there might have been like an old nest in there. Of course, the birds had flown away, but I mean, we never had that issue of having it bringing an animal in.
Very,
so.
Very city boy question on my part.
No, it makes sense, though. Yeah.
I had to ask.
Yeah.
So people who are particularly sensitive, like people with asthma or bad allergies, may feel extra irritation when they have a real Christmas tree in their home.
Gosh, never thought of that.
As for artificial trees, they can potentially contain a bunch of chemicals and irritants like plastics, PVCs, or phthalates. And flame retardants.
Oh, yes, yes.
So what are you supposed to do here and everything? Like just get a poinsettia? What do you do? I mean, regardless of what kind of tree you choose, the best thing you can do to improve your home's air quality is open the windows to clear out some of the indoor pollutants or use HEPA filters to clear out particles and dust.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I mean, I would also think that if you've never noticed any of these things, if you've been, you know, having your fake tree or your real tree every year for 20, 30 years or whatever, I'm not saying that you don't look into this stuff, but I mean, I also don't know if it should slow you down much.
No. And especially if you are someone with asthma or you do have lots of allergies. Chances are you've already got some of that stuff already, like, you know, any kind of filters and things like that to help clean the air anyway.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be overly noticeable unless that's, you know, like the only plant you bring in every year kind of thing.
Yeah, I think we talk a lot about, and I think most of us generally think about safety this time of year when it comes to, fire starting.
Oh, definitely fires, yeah.
And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think we think about this part of it, though.
No,
and so I don't think it's a bad idea to look into. I don't think it's especially if you're that person, like I said, I always thought this was in my head and stuff. If you're like that, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, there is something to this.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea to look into.
No, not at all.
I think that, I know for a fact that Christmas is what you make of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can celebrate Christmas with having no Christmas decorations.
That's right.
With having no tree, with having none of these things.
That's right.
I know for a fact you can. We've done it. and I think that, some of my favorite moments have happened from the simplest of, just not having much but each other.
Exactly.
Now, I will say, I don't know if your in-laws or relatives may also cause irritants. That may happen.
But these are not natural irritants.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
I don't know if there's a filter for those. I know that we wish some of our relatives had a filter.
Oh, that was good.
Kind of fell into that one.
That was a good one. I'll take that one.
We're going to go to break. Actually, we're done. That's the show. I'm ending on a high note.
Got to do a mic drop.
I'm George Costanza. Yeah. I'm out. Take a break. We'll be right back with more mornings on WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the time. We, of course, are having some fun here on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you all joining us. Thanks so much for the time and hanging out with us all week long, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
And really appreciate our friends over at Quality Foods. I've really been enjoying the time with them and being able to talk about some of the great things that they have going on over there at Quality Foods. Do want to remind everybody, our friends at Quality Foods IGA have a couple of great specials going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is their Christmas dinner. They have this amazing Christmas dinner that they are offering. It's a Quality's Complete Christmas Dinner. You can order this by December 23rd. You have up until then to order it, and you'll be able to pick it up by 3 o'clock on Christmas Day. Let them do the work. They've got a ham dinner that'll serve 8 to 10. That's 3.5 ham off the bone, 4 pounds of mashed potatoes, 2 pounds of beef gravy, 3 pounds of homemade stuffing, 12 count of King's Hawaiian rolls, 3-pound green bean casserole, 8 slices of variety cheesecake, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Yes, exactly. You just get about everything. Everything but really the dishes, do. Basically. Yeah.
There's now, that serves about 8 to 10.
Yeah.
Say it's just you and a couple of people. Prime rib dinner that'll serve 3. You get a 2-pound prime rib, 3 cheese, twice baked potatoes, some King's Hawaiian rolls, a pound and a half of green bean casserole, and 4 slices of variety of cheesecake.
Wow.
Both of these can be purchased. The ham dinner is $84.99. The prime rib dinner is $79.99. Both of them can be purchased at either of the IGA locations. So you can go to the West Grand Avenue location, give them a call at 715-423-9750, 423-9750, or the Baker Drive one, 715-423-8350, 423-8350.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get in on this, everybody. Also,
yeah, that's a cool thing they do. I think especially if you're, you don't have enough time, you got a lot of people coming over, man, what a great way to have everything set and ready, and the food is going to be good.
Also wanted to mention that they have their holiday cookie walk happening tomorrow from 10 to 2 at the West Grand location only. While supplies last as well, $8.99 going to get you a pound of the greatest cookies, all the hits.
Classic Christmas ones.
Yes, yes, good stuff. And, of course, they have been giving us the opportunity to grab a qualifier every day for our Christmas ham giveaway.
That's right. We're going to ham it up once again today, everybody.
It is time to ham it up.
It is time to do the next trivia question right here. This one's a little tougher. I am going to give a hint with this one.
I think that's a good idea.
To help out all our callers out there, get ready to call 424-2600.
Mm-hmm.
The question today is fruitcake. Yes, fruitcake comes from what country? Fruitcake comes from what country? Now, the hint I'm going to give you, it is not a European country.
Ooh. Oh.
Not a European country. But we want to know where fruitcake comes from. What country does it originally come from? I got to put that in there.
Is there a Christmas version of the Jeopardy
theme? I don't know. Jingle Bells, maybe? A version of it? That'd be cool.
424-2600. Call up right now to qualify to win this ham from our friends at Quality Foods.
Make fruitcake jokes.
You can make fruitcake jokes as well. And honestly, call up. Take a stab at it. Take a guess at it.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll get it right. Maybe.
You never know.
Yeah. And honestly, if you get close, if you get within the ballpark here of this one, and I do admire this. I know that there are people out there that want to qualify for this ham.
They
apparently have not thrown this into the search engine.
Yes, which you can do.
Yeah, you can do.
But we're not saying you can't do that. You can quick do a Google search, and I think you'll find the answer relatively quickly. And then just call up real quick.
It's interesting. It is not where I would have expected. Not even close to where I would have expected.
And that's what makes it so fascinating. And that this is the country that it came from. And I'm guessing I'm going to give another hint.
Yeah, good idea.
I'm guessing it came to Europe from this country because there was a European nation that kind of controlled this country for many, many years.
Yes.
It was one of their biggest colonies. Mm-hmm. And that's why it came from there. And then it ended up coming to Europe. And then it became, fruitcake, as we know it today.
One of Great Britain's greatest exports, colonization.
Yeah.
Did I say great? I did mean great.
Meaning large. Meaning larger immense. We use it in the pejorative sense.
Yes, yeah. Made it very sarcastic. 424-2600. Call up and just take a guess at it.
Go ahead
and take a shot.
We're lenient. We're not tough.
I mean, we really are.
We are not tough on the show.
We're more lenient about these things. I was talking to an old program director about this too, because he's the exact opposite. He tries to make it hard as can be for people to win, even like a qualifying or something like that. We could not be on more opposite ends of the spectrum on this one.
No, indeed.
Do we want to be fun for people and a little competitive?
Of course we do. But yeah,
we're not trying to stump anybody here. That doesn't help us any. That's not a good thing. let's go ahead and see if we have ourselves a qualifier. Go ahead and take a shot at this one. What do you got?
How about India?
Yes!
Yes, indeed!
Yes. Nicely done. Oh, that's a good one. Who do we have on the phone with us? Your first name, sir.
Mark.
Yeah, I thought so. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing good over here. Doing good. Mark, did you have to look that one up, or did you have a good feeling, or just take a guess at it?
I had a good feeling when you started talking about
Great Britain, yeah.
yeah.
That's and it. You started talking great and big, and I'm like, oh, it's not China, so.
Uh-huh. No, there you go,
yep. That is great, Mark. Are you now maybe the bigger question, are you a fan of fruitcake?
Oh, I love fruitcake. My mom used to make homemade fruitcake and wrap it in cheesecloth soaked in pear wine.
Ooh.
And she's been gone for a number of years, and I have never had anybody that's been able to duplicate that.
Wow.
That's a shame.
That sounds
everybody always talked about hating fruitcake, and I always loved it.
Yeah.
I got an aunt and an uncle who love fruitcake, and when I've tried theirs, it doesn't taste like normal fruit. I got to ask them if they're doing something like that to it, because if you've had like a different type of fruitcake, like Mark is talking about there, it is very different than normal.
Oh fruitcake. And I think people make fun of bad fruitcake, not good fruit, like well-made fruitcake. Yes. Yeah.
Mark, we really appreciate you calling up, playing along, listening. Just hang on the line for a moment. We'll get some information from you off air. Appreciate the time, though, sir. Thanks so much, and you have a great holiday.
All right, thanks. You too.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. That's great. We've grabbed a qualifier every day, thanks to Mark and all the other listeners out there. I want to thank Wade, and we also want to thank Mary Jo and Kim and Kelly and Dave. Already grabbed a lot of qualifiers. We've been having a lot of fun with this. Keep on listening, everybody, because we're going to do this all next week as well. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, up until next Friday.
Whole another week.
We got a whole nother week of this. We'll be grabbing qualifiers, so be listening for your opportunities to still qualify for this Christmas ham. And these questions looking ahead here, I would say that may be one of the tougher ones.
I think it is,
toughest one.
Yeah, it is.
That was pretty cool. Now, I would have... I don't know. A lot of people out there would have guessed India. I think that those hints you gave were perfect. I think they were also necessary.
Yeah, that was a tough one because otherwise you'd have to. It's basically a stab in the dark.
Why did I think Belgium? Like I don't know why Belgium was like popping.
What
in
did
my
they
head
ever do to you, man?
Yeah, I nothing against the Belgian people. Belgians are.
I'm kind of curious now. I want to see the history of fruitcake and how it came about and how it got to Europe and all that. That'd be interesting to see.
It is pretty cool. We'll have to check that out. We're gonna hang out with Mark for a second, get some information from him. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center, get an update on Mother Nature for you. We'll also get into Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. We got our star of the day, and Ashley is going to join us to talk about our holiday for seniors program coming up right here on Mornings at WFHR.